Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Today's episode is airing on the fifth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, one of seven annual festivals that members of the Philadelphia Church of God observe. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the thousand years of peace and prosperity that will overtake the earth following the return of Jesus Christ, who will end all corrupt and evil human governments and establish the perfect, loving government of God. This glorious millennium is also known as the Wonderful World Tomorrow. So, today we will cover the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. You can order a physical copy or start reading from a digital copy right now at thetrumpet.com. Chapter 1 is titled, Three World Views, Only One Is Going to Happen. In this chapter, Mr. Armstrong outlines the wide range of prognostications for the future of the world. Basically, human beings without God's revelation have no idea what will become of our planet. Some of them say that there is tremendous hope based on man's own ingenuity. Others say that there is no hope and that annihilation is our destiny. And still more say that the only hope in mankind is one world government. But one world government is actually impossible under human rule. Chapter 2 is titled, One Last Obituary Look at Today's World. Here, Mr. Armstrong systematically condemns every facet of modern society. Despite tremendous developments in education, science and technology, commerce and industry, and government, the overall impact of each of these fields has been negative. Swayed by Satan the devil, humans have built a civilization that is wrong and evil. On page 18 of the booklet, Mr. Armstrong writes, "When we take a hard, cold, realistic view of conditions and trends, they do point, inevitably, to a fast approaching world crisis of combined nuclear war, starvation, uncontrollable disease epidemics, crime and violence, and the extinction of human life on this planet. Man has no solution. The farther he goes, the more destructive are his efforts. And yet, absolute utopia is soon to grip this earth in our time, and we shall see world peace. We shall see sickness banished, vigorous health restored, ignorance replaced with universal right education, poverty replaced with universal prosperity, weeping and wailing turned into happiness and joy." That's the ultimate outcome, but as we will see, it does come after quite a bit of suffering. Chapter 3 of the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet is titled, The Cause of All World Troubles. Human nature is the cause, the villain cause, as Mr. Armstrong called it. On page 22, he writes, "I define it as vanity, lust and greed towards self, and as jealousy, envy, hostility, and resentment of authority against others. The Bible defines it thus, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, and the natural mind is hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, Romans 8 and verse 7. Now, since human minds are under Satan's control, it is no wonder that the world is plagued with seemingly unsolvable problems. To actually solve these problems, human minds must be changed. Only God can do this. On pages 28 and 29, Mr. Armstrong writes, and this is a pretty long quote, but it does perfectly sum up what we're talking about. Just sit back and think about this as I read it. Can you realize that every unhappiness, every evil that has come to humanity has been the result of transgressing God's law? If no one ever had any other God before the true God, if all children were reared to honor, respect, and obey their parents, and all parents reared their children in God's ways. If no one ever allowed the spirit of murder to enter his heart, if there were no wars, no killing of humans by humans, if all marriages were kept happy, and there were no transgressions of chastity before or after marriage, if all had so much concern for the good and welfare of others that no one would steal, and we could throw away all locks, keys, and safes, if everyone told the truth, everyone's word were good, everyone were honest, if no one ever coveted what was not rightfully his, but had so much outgoing concern for the welfare of others that he really believed it is more blessed to give than to receive, what a happy world we would have. In such a world, with all loving and worshiping God with all their minds, hearts, and strength, with all having concern for the welfare of all others equal to concern for self, there would be no divorce, no broken homes or families, no juvenile delinquency, no crime, no jails or prisons, no police, except for peaceful direction and supervision as a public service for all, no wars, no military establishments. But further, God has set in motion physical laws that operate in our bodies and minds, as well as the spiritual law. There would be no sickness, ill health, pain, or suffering. There would be, on the contrary, vigorous, vibrant good health, filled with dynamic interest in life, enthusiastic interest in constructive activities, bringing happiness and joy. There would be cleanliness, vigorous activity, real progress, no slums, no degenerate backward races or areas of earth. Quite a quote there, and it really does give us a picture of tomorrow's world. These massive changes to the lives of every human will take some time to accomplish. People won't just give up their habits, tendencies, and ways of life in an instant. A huge re-education program must be enacted. I'm Grant Turgeon. You have been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. We'll be right back.
Your Bible forecasts a future world free from war, violence, crime, poverty, disease, illiteracy, and the multitude of other problems that plague our nations today. Go to thetrumpet.com and request your free copy of the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Learn how such a glorious utopia will come about. Understand who will rule the earth during this 1,000-year period of peace and prosperity. God reveals specific details about the world tomorrow, about how the government, educational, and religious systems will work, and who will operate each one. You need to know about this marvelous future. It is the only hope for mankind.
Welcome back to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Today, we're covering the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. As you've probably noticed, we have absolutely flown through the first three chapters, because those three chapters are discussing the bad news, and not the 1,000 years of peace that will come after it. Chapter 4 is titled, The New World Government. Now, in the news here in America, a lot of the time we're seeing democratic socialism on the rise. There are a lot of candidates in various counties, cities, states, all over the country, winning office. And yet, anytime you hear them give an interview, they can't explain how the math works. They can't explain how they're going to pay for a lot of their different programs. Moreover, there is no example in human history of socialism being successful. This is a failed system of government. There are many debates over which form of government is best. But the reality is, though some forms like democratic socialism might be worse, none of man's governments are good enough. After Jesus Christ returns to this earth to stop mankind from annihilating itself in World War III, he will set up a divine theocracy ruled by God beings. It will be a government from the top down. God the Father to Jesus Christ to the various other ranks of spirit-born sons of God. Did you notice that? Ruled by spirit beings, not physical flesh and blood humans with evil human nature. This government of spirit beings will rule over physical humans, the survivors of the nuclear Holocaust. Christ and the governing kingdom of God will start by putting down all crime and organized rebellion by divine supernatural force. That's another hot topic that's always in the news. And the trend is undermining the police, taking away the police's authority, no more preventative measures, a lot of weak responses to riots and such. And yet, such policies only embolden the criminals. Once crime has been eradicated in tomorrow's world, it will be time to re-educate, save, and spiritually convert all people. God's laws and religious observances will be enforced. People won't actually have a choice. You can see that in Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 18. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. As you can see, at first, mankind will have to be forced to live the way that will finally make them happy. And God does control the weather. He will pronounce curses, even taking away rain from the nations that don't keep the holy days, that don't keep the Sabbath, that don't obey his laws. Think about that concept of being forced to be happy. Could you imagine someone being forced to accept $1 million? It just would never happen. And yet that very idea is the case with being forced to be happy. People are going to have to be compelled to obey God, which is the only way to happiness. God is selecting tomorrow's leaders today. Throughout mankind's 6,000 years of failed experimentation apart from God, only a select few have been called out of spiritual darkness. By our actions in this physical life, we determine how much responsibility God can trust us with as a part of his perfect government in the world tomorrow. God's government will be structured with definite roles for specific individuals. It will control both church and state, and rule over all nations. There will be only one religion and one system of education. Read the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet to learn which personalities from your Bible will slot into the top positions of leadership once they have been resurrected from the dead and converted into spirit beings. There will be rulers over groups of nations, kings over individual nations, and a host of other leaders under them. There will be international project managers undertaking vast overhauls of man's failed systems. Most importantly, since only spirit beings will be in charge of the government, everything will operate perfectly. Chapter 5 of the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet is titled Education and Religion Tomorrow. Imagine a world without lying. That is the type of world in which we will soon live. Isaiah 11 verse 9 says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So, figuratively speaking, God's truth will flood the earth. God's truth will be everywhere. Anyone can access it, and it will be easy to do so. Today, the trend is lies, lies, lies. In the mainstream media, a lot of lies are propagated. It's getting harder and harder to sift through fake news, ideological smears, and partisan attacks to find the truth. And in fact, I read an article about this, and it was talking about a sex abuse scandal in one of the biggest churches on earth. The mainstream media decided to focus on a surprising angle of this story. Not whether the sex abuse actually took place, but that it was supposedly a conservative attacking a progressive church leader. That was more important to the media than whether the sex abuse actually took place. Now, you would probably think of that as a bit of upside-down priorities. Lies aren't the only obstacle, though, to people finding the truth. Here's a quote from page 49, and Mr. Armstrong is telling a story from his experience here. He writes, "Close to half of all people on Earth today are illiterate. They are so ignorant, they simply could not be given even what might be called bare saving knowledge. A man in a country in the interior of Central Africa had heard the World Tomorrow program on Radio Elizabethville. He was a steady listener, and he received the Plain Truth magazine. He wrote us letters. He wanted to represent this work of God and raise up a church among his people. We sent two ministers stationed in London to visit this man, get to know him, and determine by personal contact what should be done. They found he was the only man of any education among them. The others were illiterate people. They were so ignorant it was impossible for them to comprehend anything about God or Christ or salvation. Sadly, our ministers said such people would have to receive at least elementary education before they could be reached with the gospel." So illiteracy and ignorance is a problem among millions, if not billions, of people today. Even if you could get past the lies, what about all the people who don't even know how to read yet? Then there's the problem of our perverted system of education. On page 50, Mr. Armstrong writes, "Modern education has been based on a false, erroneous, untrue foundation. The supposedly educated of this world, even the great minds, have absorbed false knowledge. They have been trained in a false approach to knowledge. Almost always, error is based on a false assumed premise or hypothesis, taken for granted, never questioned, and, of course, unproved. The educated minds have been filled with such false hypotheses. They have allowed a false sense of values to flood their minds. Truth appears to them to be fable. What is right may be to them foolishness. That which may be utterly wrong appears to be right. They come to view things through the false concept of evolution. This miseducation holds their minds captive." And then just a bit further down, he writes, "In God's millennial civilization, the basis of all knowledge dissemination will be revelation. Light will replace darkness. Truth will replace error. Understanding will replace crass materialism. True knowledge will replace intellectual ignorance." Mr. Armstrong even makes the bold claim that the educated minds of this world will probably be harder to train in God's way than the ignorant, illiterate minds. When you really think about it, this makes sense. The highly educated will have to undo decades of extensive, intensive training in the godless evolutionary theory and the myriad of wrong beliefs that spring from it. They will have to erase their heavy contempt for the Holy Bible. The uneducated will only have to receive training in basic literacy and critical thinking. They will then be a blank slate, untainted by the satanic lies of higher education. There will be one religion, one denomination, and one belief system, not millions of them, in the entire world tomorrow. The spirit beings of the God family, led by Jesus Christ, will comprise the headquarters congregation at Jerusalem. They will direct the operation of all church congregations in every nation on earth. There are still two more chapters in the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet. We have intentionally left some questions about the future utopia unanswered so that you, the listener, will be sure to track down your own copy of the booklet and read it all the way through. These last two chapters are full of specifics. Every problem you can think of is addressed, a solution presented. Each solution came not from the mind of Mr. Armstrong, but from the mind of God. Consider the pressing issues of population explosion, vast swaths of unlivable and unusable land and bodies of water all over the planet, the massive yet ineffective medical industry, confusion caused by numerous languages and dialects, economic uncertainty and collapse, and the financial burdens that affect so many people. God has real, practical, step-by-step solutions to these problems and many more. The most exciting part of this is you and I can be a part of the solution if we do God's will today. Today we have teased the booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, written by the late theologian and educator Herbert W. Armstrong. I will leave the subject of the next episode as a surprise. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.